Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com. Join Josh and Chuck, the guys who bring you Stuff You Should Know, as they take a trip around the world to help you get smarter in a topsy-turvy economy. Check out the all-new Super Stuffed Guide to the Economy from HowStuffWorks.com, available now exclusively on iTunes.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. As always, I'm Ben, and I'm hanging out here today with Scott.
Hello. How's it going, Ben?
It's going well, Scott. I guess we should mention that you're the auto editor, of course.
Yeah, that's right.
HowStuffWorks.com, and I'm the guy who does intros and asks you questions.
That's the way it works. Yeah, yeah. It works. I think it works well.
So you're a family man, obviously.
Correct.
Right. So when you're being a family man and when you have a child and a spouse, you probably are going to get a sedan instead of a motorcycle.
Correct.
Right. Okay. However, if let's say it was just you, just the lone wolf, Scott Benjamin, out and weaving about in traffic, you know, maybe a sedan wouldn't work for you. Maybe you'd want something smaller. Maybe you would want a micro car.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
I love small cars. I had small cars prior to the family. Mm-hmm. Had two seaters really for a long, long time. Loved them. I think I'll get back into them as well when I can have a second car. I'm not in a position right now to have one, but I want something with two seats.
Well, you're addicted to speed, so
yeah.
Two seater is historically.
Two seater or one seater.
Or one seater.
Or one seater.
Okay, for our listeners, Scott and I discussed this earlier. Micro cars. I had heard of these. I think I had seen them in a film or something before, mm-hmm. but I had no idea how tiny these things are.
They're really, really small, and in fact, they go to ridiculously small. Obviously, the name microcar kind of indicates the size you're talking about here, but this kind of car, I'll tell you, if you've ever seen a Smart for Two vehicle, you know, the new,
right.
that's the new version of the microcar. The older versions of microcars make the Smart for Two look huge.
Make it look like an Escalade.
They do. They make it look really big.
Yeah.
And, it's funny as that is to say, check a microcar out sometime or a bubble car. Mm-hmm. They call them bubble cars as well. Some of them are. Take a look at the vintage versions, and you'll see just how tiny they were.
Now, one question before we go further. Are they bubble cars when they have that canopy? The cockpit looking?
Correct. Yeah, the reason they're called bubble cars is that a lot of them do have a canopy, a plastic material, that's bent over the top. It looks just like a jet fighter or something like that, or, you know, not as sleek as a jet fighter, mm-hmm. but some of them look like a fishbowl upside down. They're really cool cars. They're interesting. I mean, and oftentimes that canopy will be how you get in the vehicle. You open the canopy. It lifts up like a canopy would on a jet fighter.
That's
you climb in.
That's so weird. You know, it also reminds me of the Jetsons. Mm-hmm. You're familiar with that?
Yes.
There's something about that canopy design. You know?
Yeah, it's very. You know, there's one that looks really similar to that. I think it's a Peel Trident. That car is this example to the extreme. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely a glass bubble that you're sitting in. It's really an odd-looking car. Strange, plastic-looking thing, but it's called a Peel. That's P-E-E-L.
Okay.
Trident. And, take a look online and just get a photograph of one of these things. You'll love it. It's really cool.
Yeah. Well, okay. When were these around? Because you said the smart car is kind of a modern version.
Yeah, there's a few modern versions of microcars. We can talk about those in a little bit, but... Really, microcars have been around since, let's say, the 1940s to about the mid-1960s. And that's with an asterisk because some of the cars that we've talked about in the past, you know, the three-wheeled vehicles that we talked about,
yeah,
those
yeah.
were turn of the century, you know, the early part of the 20th century. Those vehicles are really small enough and have some of the criteria to be a microcar, but they weren't really from that same era. So they're not called microcars. Does that make sense? I mean, they're microcars are from the 40s to the 60s. That's generally the accepted era of microcars and bubble cars. And some of the earlier vehicles fall into that, but, you know, they're not called that for whatever reason. They just they weren't called that from the beginning.
Okay, I think I see the distinction.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. So some of the Morgans and the three wheels we talked about were microcar-esque.
Microcar-esque.
Yeah, yeah.
So, except no imitations. We're here to talk about microcars.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
So why were these things made back
well,
then?
Well, it always comes down to how much money people have, and a lot of that comes back to taxes. Hmm. And a lot of these cars fall into different tax areas. Maybe they're taxed as motorcycles rather than as cars. And that's kind of what we talked about with three-wheel cars as well.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
And a lot of these microcars do in fact have three wheels, and they're very small. They may have an extremely small engine, let's say less than 700 cc's. Some of them have as small as a 49 cc engine.
How does that move?
It very, very slowly, I'll tell you, because it's really the equivalent of, like, let's say one of those little tiny little mopeds.
Yeah.
That type of engine is powering an entire car with a person in it. You can imagine that they're not speed demons by any chance. They're very economical.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I should say that the criteria for a microcar varies depending on who you talk to. What it is exactly. But a lot of these cars will get between 70 to 100 miles per gallon, which, if you think about it, that's kind of about like what a motorcycle would get. So you're talking about a very small, somewhat efficient engine, mm-hmm. but it doesn't have a whole lot of extra weight to move other than your body. So, they do get pretty good mileage.
Yeah, and the people who would be driving these, sounds like they're motivated by some price stuff.
Yeah, it's mostly price. I mean, for economic reasons and tax purposes. But it was also necessity.
Uh-huh.
Because the era that these come out of, most of these microcars are German-made or mm-hmm. French-made vehicles. That's not all of them, but, most of them are. I think there's some Italian versions as well, and a few different versions, even Japanese versions. The idea was, and this is right from, there's a microcar website that we'll talk about in a moment here, this museum, and one of the things that he mentioned is that the idea was really to, this is a quote, to mobilize the population under adverse conditions.
Hmm.
If you think about the era when those vehicles came about, that's the end of World War II.
Yeah.
And so you've got a city that's pretty much, not every city, but a lot of cities that were in ruins. A lot of people that needed to get from here to there needed a small, very economical form of transportation. This fit the bill perfectly. As a matter of fact, one of the companies, Messerschmitt, was a company that made airplanes. And Messerschmitt, I'll hope I get that name right. I know it. I think I did. Messerschmitt made automobiles for a significant period of time. And they're very popular. And in fact, I think this might be the one that you saw in a movie. You said that you have seen a microcar, right?
From
Adams family, by chance?
The one cousin it comes in?
Correct.
Yes. I was thinking of a different one when we started the show, but I do remember Cousin It's Strange Car. So that's an actual microcar?
That was a Messerschmitt. Yeah, that's a microcar, and actually it's a bubble car because it has that canopy design.
Yeah.
He rides in, it's really encased in glass, the top of it.
What was the deal? Car. I was always trying to figure out what was under that hair.
I don't know. I never gave it much thought, I guess. I didn't.
Something that can buy an awesome car, apparently.
Apparently, yeah. It was really cool.
Man, I want one of these mm-hmm. bubble cars.
Oh, I do too. I think I love small cars. I really do. So this is perfect for me. Yeah. But the problem is they're not terribly safe, as you can imagine.
Right.
You're driving a car that's 300 pounds.
And maybe the top half is glass.
Yeah, the top half is glass or plastic.
Plastic,
of course, no airbags. Of course, no, stability control of any kind. They don't have any of the modern features that the cars have now.
Oh, and they're so light, someone could push them.
They're extremely light. Yeah, that's right. Someone could push you over. Someone, imagine driving on the road next to a semi or a bus. Terribly dangerous. Now, I think, we'll talk about this later, but I think there's a situation where it might be okay.
Well, I got to tell you one other benefit of this, aside from price and aside from the speed at which a company could get people mobilized after the war, there's definitely a space issue too. In a lot of heavily urbanized areas where it's difficult to park, I think that having this would be a big advantage.
Oh, sure. We've talked about city cars and just the benefits of having a tiny car in the city.
Yeah.
Many benefits. And I think, this definitely has, some... It's a possibility, I guess, for a city commuter. Again, you're talking about a tiny, tiny car, though, something that, would be hard to even see over even the smallest of cars that are out there right now. So, yeah, it's possible, I guess.
Before we go to modern versions there, I think we should really, just to give people a picture of how short these things are. Let's say, just in feet, how tall are they from the ground?
Oh, they're roughly waist high. I mean, you're talking 3 feet high, maybe a little bit higher.
It's a crate. It's like getting into a box.
Yeah, they're very, very low. They're very, very small cars. They're low, not very wide. They're also low and narrow, which is kind of a strange design. A lot of them have two wheels in the front, one in the back.
Yeah.
Single wheel drive, you know, that rear wheel. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they're chain driven or something like that. You know, they're very, very simple. Suspension systems are very basic as well. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know if we mentioned one thing that's interesting about the former airplane manufacturers doing this.
Yeah.
They also inherited the cockpit design there, right? So there are two-seater microcars and bubble cars, but if you have your buddy with you in your micro bubble car, he or she is going to be sitting behind you.
Yeah,
right?
for the most part, that's true, yeah. Most of them, if it's a two-seater, it's kind of a driver sits in front, passenger sits in behind you, facing the same direction. There are a couple where it's side-by-side seating, but very, very few.
Well, what are the modern ones like? Do they carry on this design?
No, not really. They're small. They're very small. And if you've ever seen a smart car, then you've got the idea of what a modern microcar looks like, because there's also the Nano that we've talked about.
Oh, yes.
The Indian car that's on its way right now, the cheapest car in America, or cheapest car in the world, rather.
Cheapest new car in the world.
And there's also the Toyota IQ, which is on its way, that that's also another small car that kind of fits this modern microcar mold, I guess.
What's is it just an economical alternative to a car?
Microcar is smaller than a compact car, really.
Yeah.
So a compact, you know, the size of a compact car, that's a hatchback, you know, something like that. You know the difference between, let's say, a Honda Civic, which is a compact car, and a smart car. Smart cars look a lot smaller. They're a lot more squat, a lot more pushed together. Maybe not as short. They may be tall, but they're definitely not as long. And, you know, they may only carry two people and very little luggage, if any at all. So they do fit the mold of this microcar thing very well.
Do you think we're going to see a trend with these? Do you think there's going to be a resurgence?
I personally think there will be, because we're seeing a lot of, you know, really small compact cars. I don't see why we wouldn't see a lot of microcars coming down the way.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing, especially in the cities again. You know, this is maybe not the best idea for someone who lives out in a really rural area, right? Especially if you have any kind of livestock that could just push you over. I'm sorry, I keep going back to it, but it's crazy.
That's funny. No, the thing is, like, maybe that is a decent environment, because, you know, well, of course, you probably need a truck where you're hauling hay and things like that. But I don't know. I would be happy to drive one of those without a lot of traffic around, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. That's a good
However, point. It seems to work well in a city. That's what's odd about these things, is that it's tough to figure out who could make use of them right now. Because if there aren't a lot of them on the road, or none of them on the road, you're going to really stand out, and you're going to be the one at risk when, you know, that pickup truck or that SUV comes around the corner, and they just don't see you. And
oh, that's a good point.
That's possible.
So there could be safety there.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to the collector spectrum, the microcar enthusiast. Let's say I want to get a microcar, but I don't want to get a smart car or an IQ. I want, you know, the original Peel Trident, or the what's the other Peel one? The 50?
The Peel P50, which is, you know about this one, right?
Yeah, go ahead. That one's tiny.
Well, so. you know what makes that one special? The Peel P50?
No.
The smallest production car ever. And if you haven't seen it, take a look at it online. It's called the Peel P50, and there's some pretty funny videos of people driving this thing, but it's tiny. Single-seater. It's literally small enough to pick up and carry into the building with you.
And you steer the vehicle with, I think you do steer it with some sort of steering wheel, but the speed is controlled by a knob to your right.
That's one version, yeah.
There's one version?
That's an electric version that you're talking about, yeah. And I believe Ripley's has a video with that particular type of setup.
Yeah.
There's also a gas version. But either way, crazy small cars. I mean, no reverse, single seater, like I said, and you got to fold yourself in half to get in.
That's, you know, that's crazy. Neither of us are especially, you know, incredibly tall people, but I think we would have an interesting time trying to get in there. So let's say I'm a collector and I don't want a new type of, I don't want a modern micro car. I want one of the older ones. What do I do?
Well, just like any other collector car, you could find them either word of mouth. You know, if you know somebody that that owns one of these or know somebody that's interested in these cars, they probably know of a few that are for sale. Mm-hmm. You could go to eBay, which is another place, you know, good for something like this. And you're, you know, hit or miss there, of course. There are also reproductions of these cars.
Really?
Yeah, which is pretty interesting, really, because you can buy a kit car version of these. And we've talked about kit cars in the past, too. And I love kit cars, by the way. Kit car versions are powered with modern engines. So that's really cool that you could have, you know, what looks like a 1960 Messerschmitt is powered by a new Honda engine. So you've got this reliability with, you know, the look that you want and and the feel that you want and the surrounding vehicle that you want. But, again, you're pretty confident that, you know, you're going to be able to make it around the block.
Right, as long as that semi sees you.
Yeah, that's right. It still has the danger aspect of you know, being a very small car.
Yeah.
And then there's also this other angle that if you want a car, you could contact you know, not only hobbyists but groups that are enthusiasts about these types of vehicles. So there's a company called, or not a company, an organization called the Micro Car Organization, and it's microcar.org. You can find them online.
Yeah.
There's also another one that is the and this is probably the most interesting. We should talk about this just for a few minutes and then we can be done.
Sure,
but
yeah.
The Microcar Museum.
Are you talking about the Microcar Museum in Madison, Georgia?
I am, Ben.
Oh, man.
How did you know? Yeah.
Because you told me earlier.
that's okay. It's the only one in the it's actually I shouldn't say it's the only one. It's the largest microcar collection in the world. And it's right here in Georgia. Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's in Madison, Georgia, and the guy has his name is Bruce Weiner, and he has over 300 microcars on display. And I tell you, I've shown you photos of this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's unbelievable. They're beautiful, beautiful cars.
Most of
them are restored and perfect. There are a few that are a little rough here and there, but those are, you know, recent, you know, acquisitions on his part. He's just found them, or, you know, they're ready to be repaired or restored. Uh-huh. But he's got a very impressive collection. Again, it's the Microcar Museum, and you can find it at microcarmuseum.com. And there is a virtual tour that you can take on that site. And I highly recommend this because you won't believe what you see. They look like toys. They absolutely look like toys. And the way they're displayed, the way they just look like pedal cars. And if you ever had a pedal car when you were a kid? I had a pedal car when I was a kid, and this looks like tiny little pedal cars, but they're real functioning cars that were licensed for use at some point or another on main roads.
On streets. That's so weird.
The virtual tour is worth a few minutes just to check it out.
Your time.
And I mentioned to you that there's a section called, I think it's called Cars on the Rack.
Yes.
And these are unfinished cars. These are unrestored cars that are displayed on shelves almost like the way you would store car parts in your garage. Shelving units, and they're stacked. So you might see three or four cars high, and they look like even more like toys than the other ones because of the way they're displayed like that. But some of these are, you know, in pretty rough shape, but they just, for some reason, on those racks, they look really cool.
Man, I think we should go check it out. I would love to see it, and he probably takes them out to shows.
Yeah, he does. He brings them to auto shows. He brings, you know, big collections to auto shows and shows them around. And what's interesting about the guy, now he's got over 300 cars. He just started collecting. I think he got his first vehicle in 1991.
Wow, that's rapid expansion.
That is, yeah. I mean, he's really built it up from nothing. So it's interesting. Take a look at it. I would recommend it.
Well, aside from Mr. Weiner, what kind of drivers are these cars best for? I guess he qualifies as a curator since he's got the museum.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and he's got you know, huge selection. You know, that's pretty uncommon.
Yeah.
Well, you know, let me tell you this one more thing.
Yes.
Guess who else had one that you may not know?
Who else?
Just celebrity. Go ahead.
Celebrity.
Yeah,
wild
anyone.
Guess. Living or dead?
Dead.
Elvis Presley. Why did I pause like I was going to say
I can't. Elvis O'Malley? That's right.
That's right?
That's right.
Oh, my God. Okay, to the listeners, look, we talk sometimes about subjects we're going to bring up, but I really did just guess that one.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe he blew the secret. But anyways, you know, you usually think of – I was shocked by this because you – I can't believe you guessed that still. Anyways,
I mean, it's Graceland, man.
I'm glad you did. But usually you think of Elvis and Cadillacs, right?
Yes, yeah.
Complete opposite of microcars. Elvis had a Messerschmitt. And apparently, you know, now on this Microcar Museum website, there's a video of the guy that Elvis gave his Messerschmitt to. You know how you used to give away cars? He used to give away Cadillacs to everybody,
to
right?
That cleaning lady, famously.
Yeah, several people. He gave away a lot of Cadillacs. He gave this guy, and I think he's a tailor, he gave him his Messerschmitt. And the guy apparently is holding on to it, or at least he was at the time the video was made. It looks like maybe a little older video, but interesting. There's some film clips of Elvis in his Messerschmitt, and it's really cool. So check out the video section as well. But I thought you'd be surprised by that, but maybe
I am
not.
Surprised. I thought it was a shot in the dark.
I thought
you were going to be like John F. Kennedy or something.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe he did him.
Maybe he did. You never know. Well, okay, so...
Okay, back to your question.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got way off track.
No,
there,
that's awesome. So aside from Elvis and the curator of the Microcars Museum, who is this the ideal vehicle for?
Well, in the past, of course, a lot of Europeans had these. Some Americans had them. Right now, I would say the only people that have them are collectors and hobbyists.
Okay.
They're not really meant for daily transportation. Not very practical, and I guess that's my answer then, is that they're not very practical for everyday use.
So far.
I mean, I'm not talking about the smart car and the Toyota IQ and the Nano.
Okay.
I'm talking about these older microcars.
Okay.
Now, the smart car, of course, you can drive that anywhere. It doesn't. You can take a long road trip in that if you want. but I think right now, about the only people who are driving the original microcars on the road are collectors and hobbyists. And that's probably a good thing. You know, they take them to shows here and there. They may drive them to and from the shows, but they're really not meant for highway use, or, you know, more than the occasional trip to work if you're feeling daring that day.
If you've got a bit of daring.
Yeah, and I probably would do it. If I had one, to answer your next question, which I know you have, I would definitely drive a microcar, and I probably would occasionally drive it to and from work.
I could see you doing it, man.
How about you?
I would never drive it to work, but I would definitely love to putter around the neighborhood. I think that could be a lot of fun, especially on a nice afternoon. But honestly, I got to tell you, driving one of those to work seems to me more dangerous than driving around a NASCAR track.
Understood, but still great fun. I don't think I could keep myself away from it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If I had one in my garage, I would have to take it to work just now and then.
Oh, wow.
I would try to miss rush hour, by a couple hours either way.
Yeah.
Whatever that took, coming to work at 4 a.m. or something. But, I think I'd have to.
All right. Well, I think we are going to have to agree to disagree on that one. But I tell you what, if you made it to work, I would totally ask you if I could drive around the parking lot a little.
I know you would.
Well, to our listeners out there, guys, thanks for tuning in with us. We hope you enjoyed a little segment about microcars and bubble cars. If you want to learn more, please visit the website. And if you have any suggestions for a future idea you'd like us to cover, please send us an email at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.